I have a song for you from one of our favorite groups that comes here to Astoria, or used to come. Hopefully they'll be back again. And that's Misty River. I chose this because one of the members of Misty River, who wrote the song we're going to hear, which is Willow, the name of their album, is Chris Kokesh. And Chris is actually going to be in the area this weekend. She is going to be performing with Cal Scott, award-winning musician, who is going to be at the Peninsula Arts Center tomorrow. And you'll hear more about that a little bit later. I'll just tell you, it's at 7 o'clock, Peninsula Arts Center. Carved Wood Box is Cal's brand new album, which I don't have. So here's some music from Chris, and it goes out to everyone. Thanks for being here. Love to have you.
I have a maid sang to my love. I sang a song so sweet. I sang a song so mournfully that the willow began to weep. I sang down by the river side. My true love I did call. And though I sang a day and night, he never came at all. Tears, I sang my song. The willow alone did heed, and as I slowly fell asleep, he shed a single tears. The river they did keep and rose to carry me away into the watery deep. I am a maid sang to my love. My tale is sad and sweet. I am the maid who sang a song which made the willow to weep.
What a beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful melody. And again, that's Chris Kokesh, who is part of Misty River. And she will be here with Cal Scott, who this is his show, basically. He's got a press release, CD release party over at the Peninsula Arts Center. That's 504 Pacific Avenue North in Long Beach, Washington. That's tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Best to get there a little bit early. It is a small place, very cozy and comfortable and lovely. And these days they've got art on the walls as well, which is quite delightful. Well, my first guest, ta-da, we have We have a radio virgin. Yay! Okay, Sarah is here. Now, Sarah, do you go by three names or just two?
Just two.
Just two. Mm-hmm. Sarah Lippold.
Sarah Lippold.
Okay.
Yes.
And Sarah is here as a representative of the Fire Mountain School. You're on the board, aren't you?
My husband, Todd, is on the board.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I'm a substitute teacher there and work with the children in different programs.
Okay. Her husband, Todd, is on the board of Fire Mountain School. He's also on the physical board right here every other, I believe, or second or third Saturday on Crossroads right here on Coast Community Radio, a different kind of board. So tell us a little bit about Fire Mountain School first. There are people who've not heard of it. And it's a very special, very special place.
It is a very special place, and we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary, much like KMUN is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an exciting time. And I, in deciding what to talk about, I thought it would be fun for us to reminisce a little bit, because that's what we do when we look back at 30 years and
now,
we've done there. And
I love this, because for full disclosure, Sarah, how old are you?
35 years
old. Oh, so she could have been a student.
I could have
you
been
could
a student.
Have been if
yes.
you lived here.
It would have
time.
Been my dream to be a
Wouldn't
student
it?
At Fire Mountain School.
Oh, gosh. Everyone's, huh?
Yes, it is.
How many of us would love to have had a school like that? So
It is special. And the focus of the school is the children, for sure. And I would just like to read something quickly that talks about what we're teaching at Fire Mountain School, because that's what all need to know exactly what we're doing. And in reminiscing, looking back at the years, I found these old letters, and this letter is from 1991, written to the parents. So, and I read this, and it still is relevant today. So this is what the children are learning. This was written by Vivi Tallman. She was the director in 1991, but was there at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So she always has a lot of good to say. And she says, "At Fire Mountain, we believe that children are naturally inspired to unravel the mystery of the world around them, and that they start this work long before they enter school. We assist them in this process, directing and redirecting energy when necessary, and helping them to master the traditional skills, while always keeping in mind the crucial and unmeasurable skills, such as creative expression, self-confidence, sensitivity to community needs, and the experience of oneself as an initiator of learning. We feel confident that our style of education provides a solid foundation for the courage, the knowledge, and the vision that each of us needs to meet whatever challenges life may bring our way."
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
And they learn it young.
That's powerful. How many students are there at Fire Mountain?
Well, currently in our preschool, we have 11 preschoolers. We have a couple of boys in our kindergarten through one program. And then in the upper class, which is grades 2 through 3, there are 8 students in that class.
Okay.
And they come from Astoria, Seaside, Nehalem, so all over. Yeah. This is why we come to the community, is we want to let everyone know that there is someone in your community in Astoria who is attending Fire Mountain School, and in Seaside.
Well, it's just as we marvel, as you said, the parallels between KMUN, Coast Community Radio, and Fire Mountain School. When people dreamed of creating such a school and such a radio station, it's hard to imagine being able to keep something like this going in these small communities of ours. And yet, here we are.
And here we are. And I know how the gratitude you feel when KMUN, when we have fundraisers, and we feel the same way from the Fire Mountain School, because the work is strictly volunteer. So all these years, the school is going on building on a volunteer basis.
Now, it is an accredited school, though. Is it called a public school, or how does this work? A private? Do you know what the...
Yes. I mean, we are... Principles are based on many of the Waldorf ideas and the Montessori. And we're not an accredited school. So we are free to create our own curriculum and teach in the way that we want to teach. And that's why we have a board, and we have a group of parents, and we hire teachers, and we teach these kids the skills that I just read about.
Right. But the thing is, in order, children have to go to school in this country.
Yes.
So no truancy officer comes over and says, I'm sorry, this isn't a real school. Your kids have to go to somewhere else.
Nope, yeah. not at all. Yeah. And the proof is in all the students who've left Fire Mountain School and gone on to middle school and high school. And we have quite an alumni of valedictorians and very successful children that have grown from there. And they come back to Fire Mountain School. Mm-hmm. I've talked with them and met them. They come back there in their older age, mm-hmm. and their eyes are wide, and they just, you can tell that their experience has really given them a great map to go through in life.
Right. You know? And, and it's the child-centeredness of it, and the smallness, too, the kind of attention that kids can get and share.
This is special, and it is about the community and so many of the values we teach children are values that they will need for their life.
Oh, yeah.
Helping them build life skills, and so that as they grow and they enter the world, which can be confusing and large and confusing, they have all of these skills and they have the self-confidence to get through anything that is challenging them.
You have children in the school.
I have two children that have been attending the school for, this is our third year. And the year before that, we just explored the school before this, just visited the school and learned about the school. And this is something that parents are quite welcome to do, mm-hmm. even if their children aren't of school age yet, mm-hmm. or they're thinking about Fire Mountain School. Our doors are open for them to come and experience and see what we're doing, see what the children are learning, what the classrooms look like at any time.
Well, why don't you mention now the arts program that's just the second year, isn't it?
Yes,
is something special also.
It is. Our one of our preschool and kindergarten teacher at Fire Mountain School, Hannah Nebaker, and I, we developed this program last summer. We thought it up. We wanted a place for parents to bring their children during the summer. Mm-hmm. And we call it summer school, but some children might be afraid of summer school, but this is fun because it's art-based, and our school is in the woods, and so there's so much inspiration around us, and the children enjoy it so much. So we have a six-week program this summer, and on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, parents can bring their children to school.
What age is this for?
From the age of preschool to the age of, I would say, 10 or 12.
Okay, so it starts like at 4 or 5?
It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. I mean, age-wise.
Oh, age-wise, yes,
years?
4.
Yeah,
yes.
4 years old.
4 years old for the preschoolers.
So that would be an interesting way for people who aren't involved in the school yet to think about, for summertime, to check it out, and they'll be so delighted that they'll want to sign their kids up for the rest of the time. So.
Yes.
So one of the things, speaking of volunteer, is in order to finance this place, you have to do some fundraising, don't you?
Yes.
And you guys know how to do some fun fundraising. Why, I have right here, I'm going to win a trip to Mexico. Well, it doesn't say I'm going to win. It says win a trip to Mexico.
You have a good chance, Carol.
I do.
I know you'll buy a ticket like you always do.
There's
only 500 tickets to win a $4,000 vacation.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The tickets are well worth it, and the understanding is that every bit of it goes to the school.
Yes.
And how can people buy their tickets, though? I can buy mine right now. I could give you a check and get a ticket right now. How can other people get their tickets?
Yes, there's a variety of ways to get a ticket. We have three ticket outlets, one of them, which is my home in Seaside. And on our poster, you'll see my phone number listed there. And then also at Beach Books in Seaside. Mm-hmm. And in the Manzanita area, you can buy them at Moxie. Mm-hmm. And a few other places.
And this ticket not only gets you a raffle, but, and here comes the blowout, and this is for everybody, whether or not you win the prize. You're definitely going to win a prize, not only of supporting a great school, but, ta-da!
Yes, I think in the year 2000, parents started this, and it is. We are wanting to give back to the community because of the support we have. Mm-hmm. So then we create a fun party. A fun party. It's a fun
idea.
Event.
Yeah.
And each year we like to celebrate a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it is Mexico, for our party falls the day before Cinco de Mayo. So when we celebrate a culture or a country, then here comes a theme for us to right. just dive into, and mm-hmm. and we all learn. And so this year we're offering live music with Maggie Kitson and the Thomasian Trio.
Thomasian Trio.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so they'll be playing some music for us.
And they are hot. That's blues and everything else that you can imagine. I'm sure they even take requests.
Yes, and it'll be enjoyable as you sit there and feast on a taco bar from the stand.
Oh, wait a minute. I read something about Sarah Lippold is making Sarah's tamales. What's this? Is this a specialty of yours, or are you just learning it for this part?
It's something I can create that mm-hmm. I think people love, because tamales are delicious and fantastic. And
are you going to make some vegetarian ones?
Yes,
too?
I always do
all
that.
Right.
Yes,
all right.
I do. We always have vegetarian options mm-hmm. at our fundraisers, and we're really foodies there. So we are able. There's a lot of farmers in the Halem mm-hmm. that give us fresh produce and fresh food, and so our goal is to really provide a delicious meal mm-hmm. when you come. And then we always have a variety of drinks there for people. And this year, Seaside Brewing Company has donated a keg of beer that my husband Todd helped make.
Oh, how fun.
Yes, it is fun. So this is
one big happy family here.
Yes, it
now,
is.
What did I read about salsa or Spanish folklore dancers? Is that happening?
Yes, one of the parents was in contact with a group of dancers from Tillamook County.
Oh.
And so they're going to come to begin our salsa mm-hmm. party.
Okay.
And after they show us what they do, then we have Omar. He's also from Tillamook County. He is going to DJ music for us, and he really wants to bring to us some Cinco de Mayo music, some good music, which he knows it's his forte. Mm-hmm. So then we're able to listen to some good music and dance and wait until 10 o'clock when the big ticket is pulled.
Aha. So what time does Maggie and the Thomasian Trio start? Do you know when they're going to start playing music?
Well, the doors open at 6 p.m., and that's around right then when we like to have the food ready for mm-hmm. everybody, right, when mm-hmm. they come in. And then she'll start to play while
okay.
we eat. I bet around 7 o'clock okay. or so she'll play.
Great.
For us.
So this is Saturday, May 4th, obviously, the mm-hmm. day before Cinco de Mayo. If you don't know what that is, the 5th of May, that is the big Mexican-American holiday, I should say. We, a lot of us assumed that that was Mexican Independence Day, but it's not. That's September 16th. And I don't think they even celebrate Cinco de Mayo very much in Mexico, but boy, do we celebrate it here. And what a great way to do it, to join Fire Mountain School. And this is at the Nehalem City Hall, am I right?
Yes, it's the old fire hall.
Okay.
And now that Nehalem has a new fire hall built, this building is called the City Hall.
City Hall.
And it's upstairs.
Okay, and upstairs, it's on 8th Street?
On 8th and Nehalem, yes.
Okay, and Nehalem is not a big place, so it's no doubt you can find it, or if you get lost at all, just ask anyone in town and they'll let you know. So sounds like a blast, and it's a great way to support the school. Now, can someone show up at the door either and either buy raffle tickets at the door and or buy a ticket to get in without buying raffle tickets? Is that?
Yes, we will sell raffle tickets up till 5 minutes before the drawing.
Although
yes.
with only 500 tickets, who knows?
Who knows?
May be sold out.
We do pretty well selling these tickets for this is our big fundraiser of the year.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, even if they don't have children or can't send their children there, are very happy that you guys are making this kind of education available.
Yes, so. And you need not, if you wish to not gamble, you need not spend $40. You could come to the door and pay $15 and come in and eat all that you want and listen
and
to the music.
The music and do a little salsa dancing and have a good time. Okay, well, thank you, Sarah Lippold. And again, this is Saturday, May 4th. At Fire Mountain School, and I thought I had the poster right in front of me. I have it here. Oh, okay, yeah. And if you want more information, looking for your phone number here.
Yes, call the school. The number is 503-436-2000. 2610.
2610. 436-2610.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
And viva la Fire Mountain School.
Viva la KMUN.
Thank you. Okay. And this is KMUN 91.9, KTCB 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffee since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. Let's hear a little music from Ben Yarrow, who is going to be a couple of terrific musicians. They're going to be at Kala tomorrow evening. It's actually another double bill. I'll give you the information. Let's see. Americana Roots Country Blues Duo Screen Door Porch and Ben Yarrow. The doors open at 7:30. The show is at 8:30. That's Kala, 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria.
Love, take me now. That black cloud's coming round, and I've let myself down. Take me now. All morning long, this whole world struck me wrong. Now that life's nearly gone, won't be long. I've been the voice of ignorance pounding at your door. And I've heard just enough of this to call me back more. Fire burn across the sky, water bluer than her eye, rivers wide. I've been the voice of ignorance pounding at your door. And I've heard just enough of this. Call me back for more.
Is Ben Yarrow. That's a couple of dudes, Ben Musser or Mooser and Tucker Yarrow. That's cute. His first name and his last name. And then Meg Chamberlain is with them on this as well. And they are going to be at Kala Hipfish tomorrow evening along with Screen Door Porch. A couple of groups playing. Well, Sarah mentioned KMUN's birthday party, and of course, a birthday rather. And of course, many of you, if you are listening at all, are already aware that yes, indeedy, it is our 30th birthday. The actual specific date was on Wednesday of this week, and we had a nice little gathering here. Folks came from all over the place, and including Mexico, as a matter of fact, some of our old programmers. and it was really fun. And our station manager, Joanne Rideout, is here to tell us a little bit about how you can help celebrate Coast Community Radio. Hi,
yeah,
Joanne.
Hi. Well, I want to update everybody on our birthday party plans.
All right.
We had, if you are a subscriber, a member, you received the Current in the mail, and you probably saw that we had a huge ad saying that we were going to have our birthday party on April 27th, and that we were going to have it at the new space above the Fort George Brewery, which is evolving wonderfully. And we ended up having to change our plans, revise them a bit, because that space is still evolving wonderfully and is a beautiful artisan woodworking project that is coming together. And it became really evident that it just wasn't going to be ready, and that it would be really, you know, they would have accommodated us. The Fort George folks are so great, but we would have really been in their way. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we thought it would be much better to change plans, and that we will have an event there when that gorgeous space is open, because we love the Fort George folks. But I want to tell you what's going to happen with our birthday party plans now. We are going to be having KMUN's 30th birthday party on April 27th from 6 to midnight at the Astoria Moose Lodge, which is at 17th and Exchange over by the Bow Picker. And this is a kind of a historic place for KMUN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is actually one of the few performance venues in Astoria that was around when KMUN was started in 1983. So people have told me, oh, yeah, we used to have a lot of stuff at the Moose. So it's kind of fitting that here we are at our 30th birthday having our party at this this kind of cool place. So I want to tell you what's happening. It's going to start at 6 p.m. We're going to have the Retta Christie Trio to open things up. Then we're going to have Willapa Hills later on. And then the Pagan Pancakes will be playing for a while. And then the Holiday Friends are going to round out the evening. So it's going to be a wonderful mix of different genres of music. We're going to have food catered by Astoria business O Falafel. So we'll have some wonderful Middle Eastern food. And thanks to a generous donation from an anonymous member, but thank you so much. We're going to have birthday cake from our fabulous Carrie Gallagher, board member and acoustic brunch programmer. We want the community to come on down and join us. One of the really cool things about this event is that we're probably one of the few events happening that weekend that's going to have really easy parking, because we're not in the downtown corridor where there's all sort of, the streets are just torn up all over the place, and there's going to be a lot of things going on that weekend, but there's going to be a lot of parking over near where we
there's
are
always
at.
A lot of things going on. So what time? It starts at 6,
starts
is that
at
right?
6 o'clock. Okay. It's going to probably go until about 11 or midnight. Kids are welcome. I just talked to the folks at the Moose.
Great.
And there's no cover charge. We are going to have, because this is a wonderful kind of KMUN community event, all the bands are donating their time to us. So we're going to have some tip jars around if you want to put a little in there to give the bands a little bit of gas money.
And I think I'm going to bring a great big bottle so we can have a tip jar for KMUN
We are going to have a tip jar for KMUN.
We haven't asked for any money for our 30th, but I know that some people are saying, hey, it's your birthday. Don't you want a present? And like, yes, we can use it.
But, you know, we didn't want to make a cover charge at the door. We want to let people come. But there will be, if you'd like to make a donation,
absolutely.
We will be there to accept it, and we would gratefully appreciate it. And so that's kind of what's happening. Kids are welcome. It's going to be at the Moose Lodge, which, as I said, is on the kind of a little bit east of downtown.
17th Street.
17th and Exchange. And Exchange. And it's between Exchange and Duane.
Between Exchange.
You're the Bow Picker.
The door is right by the Duane. And it's a fun place. And it's the Vern Barth used to hang out there all the time.
It's a special place for a lot of institutional memory for KMUN folks.
We've had big parties there, too. I sprained my ankle there one time at a party about 25 years ago. I remember it well.
Oh, my goodness.
So, okay, well, great. And let the celebrations go on. And if you're listening, you'll hear some old-time stuff. As a matter of speaking of Vern Barth, there was a whole last Sunday evening, there was a whole program of his from 1987. Boy, did he sound young. We lost Vern, but not his spirit or his music last year, and we've lost a lot of KMUN programmers, but they're still with us, and
their energy lives on.
Great time for you to come in and reminisce and have fun and eat good food. Gosh.
And we're pulling together kind of a PowerPoint slideshow of old photographs that we're going to have running, kind of just running in the background so people can just see it. And it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
You can come down, party, visit, and help us celebrate 30 years
and
on
that,
the air.
That morning is Troll Radio at its now spot, which is at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin, which has been here longer, But it's not a place. You don't go dance. There's no place to dance, you know.
It's
and
not
the
a
Liberty
party spot.
Too. It's
and,
not.
And the Moose will be a good party
it'll be
spot.
Great. Yeah, so come on, join great. Us. Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you.
Okay, and you know, I'm going to ask if you could send in those ASOC people real fast. Leave the door open and just send them on in. And I'll just tell you a little bit about what's going on while they're heading on in. Tonight, there is, of course, a peace vigil. And the Coaster Theater, it's the last two nights for the Coaster Theater Around the World in 80 Days, tonight and tomorrow, 7:30. The CASA benefit is sold out. So don't forget to donate to CASA, but go ahead and next year get your tickets early. And, of course, they'll try to be in a bigger space, too. Natural Elements Art Show, which is the Tolovana Arts Colony, is happening. And it ends on Sunday with a 3-5 closing party. It's a great show. I, as a matter of fact, I'm wearing a bracelet that I got there, made by Libby Pattison. And it's a benefit. So that's a fun thing, and they still have the 12 days of Earth Day going on through Monday, too. Mix and Mingle is with Wes Warman, and hopefully we'll hear some of his music. And tomorrow night, we have Kala with Americana Roots and the Screen Door Porch and Ben Yarrow. Cal Scott is at the Peninsula Arts Center Tokeland Studio Tour, and you heard from them last weekend, and they are doing tremendous work. I think there's like 20 artists, mostly at the Tokeland Museum, Tokeland Hotel. I don't think they have a museum yet. The Finnish film at the Apollo Archives in Nacelle, Valo, and it's 11 in the morning, and it is good for children as well, as long as they can read well, because it's in Finnish with English subtitles, but the content is good for kids. And Jim Lynch has his book Truth Like the Sun, political novel, taking place in Seattle then and now. That's at the Hoffman as part of the Manzanita Writers Series. It's 7 o'clock Saturday night, and then followed by open mic. I was down there last night for a fabulous Celtic concert, and it's a sweet little venue. And Meet Your Farmer is tomorrow from 2 to 4 at Grays River Grange and Cannon Beach Community Hall. Fort George on Sunday, well, we'll hear from the indie musician Kate Olds. Vino Manzanita is featuring Spring Fling with Loves It, a Texas acoustic duo, and Bunny Frost is opening. And Fort Clatsop has the Joseph Blanco writer Gifford Pinchot, the America's first forester and creator of the U.S. Forest Service. Who knew? At 1 p.m. Well, you probably did. And Monday is Rising Star Cafe in Wheeler. It takes a village. That sounds like what we need these days. Jazz with Bob Brook, art, desserts. And it's a benefit for Lynn Chris. I know. Lynn Curis, probably. She is the owner, and she has been dealing with health issues. Well, the one I saved is, of course, the Astor Street Opry, because right before my very eyes, I have, one of them has a microphone, the other doesn't, but she's about to get it because she's, neither of these people are radio virgins. I can tell you that. I think she's coming incognito, though. She's got a hat and covering your face, and there you go. Oh, I see. Judy Nyland is here, and Chrislyn Taylor.
Hello,
and
girl.
They are two of the big voices from the Astor Street Opry Company. And the show is on, the Real Lewis and Clark, or How the Finns
Discovered Astoria.
Of course.
You know that's true.
Of course.
Ask a Finn.
Yeah. Yeah, go to the movie tomorrow night and ask all those Finns there who really discovered America.
We know.
So it's happening right now, isn't it?
Yep.
Right. We opened last weekend.
Yep. And how long is it going?
Till May 4th. And we run three more weekends, counting this weekend. And tonight's our very special Friday nights.
Oh, yes. Friday nights are cheap nights.
$5
Friday.
Yes. Yeah, and so cool. We run, we got a show tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow we have a matinee this weekend.
Oh.
2 p.m.
on
on this coming Sunday and next Sunday.
Okay, good. Sundays at 2. So how many years have you been doing this particular show?
This is our third consecutive year of doing our original.
Is it still evolving the way Shanghai did? Actually, Shanghai still evolves, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's only been going, what, 30 years, and it still evolves.
It
what about
still
this
evolves.
One, Judy?
It totally evolves. Oh, my God. This year, it's so funny. I keep coming up with these ideas, and sometimes I let other people have ideas, but not very often, but sometimes, and it just evolves.
It's fun, isn't it?
It takes it, they run with it.
So, Chris Lynn, are you doing the music?
I'm the music director, and I am in the show.
Oh, you are.
Yes. I play Mama Frieda Swenson.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, now, Mama, that makes me wonder, is this play, how does this play relate to Shanghai at all?
Well, just a little. Okay. I mean, they're distant relatives of the characters from Shanghai. Like, you know, it is 1804 when it starts, and our show with Shanghai is somewhere around the turn of the century. It's kind of vague.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so they're the great, great, sometimes great, grandparents and
I see.
Crook and
I see.
It's the evolution of Crook. It's where Sneak and Crook
came from. Do they ever converge in this play?
Oh, no. That would be 100 years, so okay. That can't happen.
But I see, because this is such realistic theater.
It is.
Okay.
However, Jane Barnes and Robert Gray can all be in the same place.
Yeah, all at the same time and all the same age.
Thank you. I rest my case, exactly.
Oh, God.
And now, in this case, Jane Barnes is a woman and Robert Gray is a man.
Well, yes. We held true to the story.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, there was the Jane
Barnes
review.
That's a whole different story.
You never know around here.
Oh, God, that's true. Actually, in our show, you never know. Sneak is a woman in our show.
Oh, there's a sneak in this show?
Well, of course. Crook has to have a psych. See, one of the things I did when I wrote this play is, you know, the real Lewis and Clark expedition, it was about the partnership. And about the Cora Discovery was such a together troop. That's why they had no injuries. They had no deaths. They made it back. And they just were all able to help each other. So I really emphasize that in this group. So every character has a partner on stage.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a Crooked Sneak, and I got Ole and Sven, and I got the sisters all match up with the Frenchman and different characters like that.
God, they let you loose, Judy, and
they
who knows what's going to happen.
They did.
Huh?
The windmills spin, Carol. They spin.
Well, that's great. And what's the age range in this play?
17, like as in the characters or as in the performers?
No, the performers.
17 and older.
Okay, so this is one of the adult
performances. I purposely keep it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although some of them, I bet, have been acting
for years.
Yeah, exactly, which is why it's so fun.
My veterans.
Bringing them up, yeah, it's true. So what else is going on now? Don't you have some auditions coming up?
Saturday
too?
We have the new program that we're starting. We're trying out a teen summer program, so they're going to be putting on Rapunzel. They will. The teens are 14 to 18. Heather Ramsdell is directing.
Yes.
And it's basically Kim Mitchell, and they're going to be helping to produce it and perform in it.
Oh.
But
it,
you know, again, that was another evolution. That was the idea that for 3 or 4 years now we've been doing kid theater, which starts at age 8, and some of these kids have gotten enough experience that they need a bigger challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving it a shot. So it's auditions at noon on Saturday, April 20th.
Okay, now Rapunzel is
the fairy tale.
Right, so this, you didn't mess with this one, eh?
It was a copyrighted piece of material that someone purchased for us to use.
Oh my gosh, how are you having a hard time with that, not being able to get your hands on?
They won't let me, so it's okay. I know my boundaries, Tammy.
Okay.
I know my boundaries.
Yeah, there you go. But perhaps all those beautiful blonde braided wigs real hair that's used.
That's
in,
right. Those could show up.
Those might show up in Rapunzel,
they
too.
You never know.
What are you involved with the teen theater as well?
I'm the music director for the show.
You're the music director for all the shows.
Seems like
you?
It. It's working out that way.
I'm getting the drift here. So how is that for you working with all these different age groups?
Oh, it's fun. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy the children. I like their learning. I like the way they learn, and they try real hard. I've not worked singing with teenagers yet, but I'm sure it's not a whole lot different. And then, of course, doing the shows Shanghaied and Scrooged and Lewis and Clark. You know, it's really enjoyable. It's a wonderful process.
Well, you know, we do just last week or 2 weeks ago, I had a high school, Astoria High School student who was, there it is, 2 weeks ago, Mariah Commons was doing her senior project at Astoria High School, was a concert she was putting on. And she had a whole bunch of high school students who were going to perform music, including herself. You know, part of the music program there, which they, blessings be, still have, and including the jazz choir and stuff. So it would be nice if some of those kids wanted to. I love seeing young people get involved in theater, because I think theater is so important.
It is.
It's not a matter of teaching them to sing. They already know how to do that. It's a matter of teaching them how to present the song and how to act in it, that I think is my job.
And bringing them together, the interacting too, because when they sing, it's a very different aspect. Yeah, well, it's terrific. Now, you also, speaking of singing, you yourself are going to be performing. When is that happening this year? Do you know?
Are you talking about the Cannery Pier?
No.
I didn't even know about that one. Wait, let's...
Oh, at the Liberty?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's
yes.
what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Well, I guess I could...
You get around, girl.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, Miss Macy gets around.
Yeah, none of that don't get around much anymore. Yes. Not for you. Okay.
No, Miss Macy will be singing with the North Coast Symphonic Band for their May concert, and will be reprising the Sturdy Woman trilogy from Shanghai to Astoria. And then I'm told that I've given the music to Dave Robertson. He's in the middle of arranging the Lewis and Clark music so that we can present it at the July 3rd concert at the Liberty.
That'd be great.
Excited.
Yeah. So you're singing somewhere else too,
I hear. The Cannery Pier is doing a Wednesday thing. Wicked Wednesdays. And they asked Miss Macy to come in and grace their cocktail hour.
Can just imagine. Oh, Lord. Come
and speaking
in
of which, we also get invited to go on to the cruise ships, which is really exciting for us.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, we're going to be doing three cruise ships this May.
Yes,
and we perform our Oleo acts, and then we also bring in some show tunes, and we get to perform in their high-tech 700-seat theater, and it's quite an experience for both the actors and the audience.
Yeah.
Never seen anything quite like it, I bet.
Are you going to take part in that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
I hope so. I hope so, because they're in for a treat.
Oh, I always love to do the cruise ships.
We also, if anybody's interested, we can always use another piano player. If anybody is interested in coming play piano with us, we do have a shortage, and we need some help getting on those cruise ships.
Okay, well, that's good information. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll put that out, because there are some fabulous piano players. So that's for the cruise ship.
In our shows, you know, it's like...
Yeah, that's more of a commitment. The cruise ships is a one-shot deal.
It's a two-hour deal.
Yeah. That works well. Yeah, well, great. I'm so glad you're alive and well, and in action right now, again, the real... God, it's such a long title.
I know,
isn't
it great?
Yeah.
We refer to it as LNC.
The Real Lewis and Clark, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria, is playing right now. And the shows are at 7:30.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Correct.
With a matinee this Sunday at 2 and next Sunday at 2. And it runs through May 4th.
Correct.
And don't forget $5 Fridays.
And yeah. Fridays are your hot date
night. It's our hot number.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for keeping theater alive and well and hilarious in Astoria and open to all ages, too.
Oh, it's
wonderful.
Great. Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
All righty. And I have some music for you from, let's see, where is she going to be playing? Kate Olds is going to be playing at the Fort George this Sunday. Thank you, Heidi, and Chris and Jack. And let's have a listen, and then you'll know what kind of music she's playing right here on KMUN and KTCB. And then stay tuned for a very different kind of music concert coming up.
No, I know.
And you are listening to Kate Olds. That's C-A-I-T. She's going to be at the Fort George Brewery on Sunday the 21st. That's this coming Sunday at 8 p.m. And there's never a cover charge there. And there's always music. And there's music all over the place. And one of my favorite new, relatively new, they're not really new, but they're relatively new groups in this area is the Columbia River Symphony. And Angela Peterson Calvin is here to tell us about. Angela is the first violinist with the Columbia River Symphony. She also, as in good fashion with all of the musicians around here, plays in at least one other group, isn't that
at
right?
At least one other.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And you and your husband actually started this Columbia
yes.
River Symphony.
5 years ago, we had 9 people.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think I counted them last week. It's like almost, it's 45 about.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's growing. So we have a wide range of ages. And
well, wasn't just, that your original idea? Was
yeah.
Starting with?
Well, it started as a youth symphony.
Youth symphony, that's right.
Then we were like, what is a youth? And so that definition has changed. But I think we just try to include people who are interested in performing music. And we're always looking for audience people. You know, the audiences are almost as important, if not more important, mm-hmm. than the actual mm-hmm. musicians. And so if you're wondering if it really matters if you go to these performances, oh my goodness, it does, because we've had some concerts at the beginning where we were just grabbing people off the street and they were victims. But we're always looking for people to come listen to our music. And last spring in May, we went up to Seattle to see the King Tut exhibit at the uh-huh. Science Center.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is so amazing. It's what those people did way back then is just so inspiring. So I turned to Corey and I said, we should do a concert about Egypt. And you're not going to go and hear little snake charmer songs. It's more than that. The French were the first to compose works regarding Egypt, but they didn't compose works that directly correlated with Egypt. It was more works that showed what inspired them about the uh-huh. culture. So that's kind of what we're aiming for. It's some music that will take you back to that time, but it's not so literal.
So it's not actually Egyptian music.
No.
It's music by composers from
that were inspired right. by that.
But who are they? Where are they from?
I'm going to start with we're doing a 5-movement work by oh. Norman Taylor. And there are 5 movements, the mm-hmm. Valley of the Kings. And I'll read to you what Corey sent me today. The Valley of the Kings is famous for its royal tombs. Over a period of more than 1,000 years, kings, queens, and the nobility of the new empire were buried in this valley, which was the most sought-after burial ground. And for a culture that was so surrounding, they were really focused on death and the afterlife. That was important. The second movement is building the Great Pyramid, which we all know about these pyramids. They're still standing, which is spectacular. The pyramids for which Egypt is famous are undoubtedly one of the greatest wonders of the world. The buildings of these monuments is one of the oldest mysteries surrounding ancient Egypt.
Okay, now I do have to, I don't want to be a downer or anything, but we do need to remember who built these.
Yes.
And that was the slaves.
Yes, the slaves, yes, definitely.
Whose blood and guts are in those tombs.
Yeah, a lot of sacrifice, and it's they left some wonderful things, and but it was the slaves, which mm-hmm. is important to keep in mind. And they did it without computers, and the big things. They did it all on their back, so that mm-hmm. is very important. Inside the pyramids was the sarcophagus, and inside they painted the afterlife and mm-hmm. About the life, and so it was a continuation of life. The next one were the tombs, which were the four-sided stone structures, which symbolized the sacred mountain and the universal human struggle to reach heaven. And then we have the movement, which is the fourth movement, King Tut, who came to the throne in 1333 at the age of 9, which is a huge amount of pressure, and died at the age of 18. And his tomb was discovered in 1922 November 22nd.
Very recently, actually, yeah.
Yeah, not that long ago, which would have been a huge find. Mm-hmm. It was discovered by Howard Carter, and here's a quote from his journal. Mm-hmm. He said, "I put the candle inside and had a look. At first I could see nothing, as the hot air escaping from the tomb made the candle flicker. But gradually my eyes grew accustomed to the weak light, and I could distinguish the details of the interior. Strange animals, golden statues everywhere. There was a glitter of gold," which would have been absolutely amazing to find that. And then the last movement is called the Legend of the Cobra. Mm. And in ancient times, the cobra was a symbol of royalty, and each pharaoh wore this symbol on his forehead as if to signify his power to strike and sting his enemies. Legend tells us that the Queen Cleopatra killed herself by submitting to the cobra's mm-hmm. bite. So each of those, mm-hmm. these movements kind of is the composer's way of taking you to these aspects of Egypt, hearing the cobra or seeing King Tut walk into a big area.
So when was this piece written?
I'm not sure. Mm. It's fairly recent. Mm-hmm. It was a little tricky to find music about Egypt. We only found three, and then we have some people playing some solo stuff. So it's going to be a really spectacular concert.
So I just opened this up. And now, is this true that there's going to be also the Prince of Egypt?
Yes.
And
Echoes of Egypt.
And Joe Green's Grand March, that would be Giuseppe Verdi. I just learned that, and I know that's obnoxious, people, but I can't help myself. I think that's so funny. So it's all instrumental.
Yes.
Okay. And will Corey, we didn't mention Corey. I said your husband, didn't I? Corey Peterson is the conductor, and he and Angela are the people who put together this youth orchestra, which became the Columbia River Symphony. And so will he be, or will someone be talking about giving the explanation so people can sort of close their eyes and imagine?
Envision this. I feel this selection of music really has something for everybody. Prince of Egypt was a cartoon that came out, I think, in the 90s. And so it will be really good for the kids.
Stephen Schwartz's The Prince of Egypt. That's kind of it. Which will include a medley of Deliver Us, Through Heaven's Eyes, and When You Believe. I've never seen it, so that would be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
And Verdi's Grand March. Nicholas Baratta, Echoes of Egypt.
Yes.
How long is this program? That's a lot of lot of music you're putting
in. Yeah, I say we only found five, the three main movements here, and but they're long. And it's really nice. They take you through a broad range of imagination. It's going to be a really colorful, imaginatory.
Well, let's tell people when and where they can find this. There are two concerts. Both are 3 p.m. Saturday, that's tomorrow, at the Chinook School Gymnasium, which is a wonderful venue.
Yes.
Now, I went to one of your concerts there. Have you done others? How many?
Yeah, we've done three or four, and this has been a really excellent partnership, because Chinook, the city of Chinook, is trying to restore the historical buildings. Yeah. And we've gone up there, and we split the proceeds, mm-hmm. because we're an art group that and all the art groups are struggling to keep going, and that's why audiences are so important.
Yeah.
So we're trying to keep going for the next season, but they're also trying to build the school back up for a place for a community to go. So we have, it's been a great success. They're great to work with, and I think they enjoy us as well.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, so they what they're hoping to rebuild is that wonderful, iconic building that you drive by and you wonder, what is that building? What's happening there?
Yeah.
And what, you know, what kind of ghosts are in that building? And that's actually the school.
The school.
Which hasn't been refurbished yet. Is
they're,
that,
working,
they're working on
they're
it.
They're trying to get the money
for
it, yeah.
But you're performing in the gymnasium, which is doesn't feel like a gymnasium when you're performing
no,
at all.
No.
And that's behind. And
behind.
That's been redone already.
Yes,
so.
And that, if you go, you're going to see.
The sound is good, too.
Yeah, it's a great sound, and you're going to see what the money's going for the school. And
great.
So if you're going north towards Long Beach and you go through Chinook and you suddenly find yourself out of Chinook and there's
turn around.
It's the old school right behind the old school.
Yeah. And it's if you're driving from Astoria or anywhere south, it is on the right-hand side, and it's a big open lot, and the school is set back, so you can't really miss it. It's 810 U.S. Highway 101, if the address helps you at all. I wouldn't help me, but it's a visual thing. And then on Sunday, you're at the Astoria High School Auditorium.
Yeah.
And that's neat, too. So do you have Astoria High School kids in your show?
Oh, we
in
do. We have some kids that are homeschooled that don't have a place to perform.
Oh,
so
nice.
This is great for them. We have some high school kids and some advanced eighth graders. It's a really great group. And then we have our younger population that's in the 70s and 80s. And it's just a really great group. We love it because it's like a family, and we love performing, and we've really enjoyed the audience's support. So
yeah, well, it goes both ways, and this is such a rich area for music that it's really quite fabulous. Well, thank you so much for keeping the music going.
Yes.
And creating yet another group. And the concert again is tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow at the Chinook School and Sunday at Astoria High School. And they're both 3 p.m. Columbia River Symphony. What do we call it? The Echoes of Egypt.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
And my guest has been Angela Peterson Calvin, who together with her husband Corey, she's the first violinist, he's the conductor. They created this group just 5 years ago, so it's delightful. I'm going to put on a little music from one of the performers whom you'll hear. Let's see, did I? Okay. There we go. This is Helene Bloom, who is going to be one of the featured performers at the Astoria Scandinavian Festival this year. And she's been here before, and it's quite wonderful. You're going to hear more of her music soon. Thanks for being here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Please, please, let's get it right.
Släck av skam Det var du norska hem Dybe i ditt eje Vil fyre mig nøje Hvornår vil jeg se dig igen Du løfter din hånd Som en hilsen til livet Du er klar Det visste jeg